What would GE be without its appliances? We may soon find out.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon. General Electric has come under pressure from some analysts and shareholders who think the giant conglomerate has become too big and unwieldy. Well, there's word this morning that GE might be ready to unload its appliance division. The Wall Street Journal reports GE plans to auction off the appliance business in a sale that could yield between $5 and $8 billion. GE won't comment, but the mayor of Louisville, Kentucky, where the appliance operation is based, says he was in contact with company officials in the past few days, and they gave no indication such a sale was part of their plans. Speaking of appliances, apparently all those energy-efficient gizmos are adding up. There's a report out today that calls energy efficiency the farthest-reaching, least polluting, and fastest-growing energy success story of the last 50 years. From the Sustainability Desk, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
The report found it takes half as much energy today to create $1 of economic output as it did in the 1970s. The energy savings in 2004 alone were enough to run 40 mid-sized coal or nuclear power plants. Study co-author Karen Earhart Martinez is with the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy.
Energy efficiency is a way to reduce our impact on the environment, and we can also save ourselves a lot of money.
She says squeezing more out of existing energy resources buys time to develop cleaner technologies.
What we're recommending is that we shift our focus from how do we increase energy supply to how do we increase energy efficiency.
The study estimates new efficiencies could cut U.S. energy consumption 25% in the next 25 years. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
A better-than-expected gauge on consumer prices boosted the stock market yesterday. The Dow kicks off this morning from a gain of 66 points, around 0.5%. The Nasdaq gained a single point, just a tiny fraction of a percent. The S&P 500 rose 0.4%. European markets have started the day down fractionally. Tokyo's Nikkei up almost 1%. We've had Paris Hilton mucking stables, families swapping moms, D-list celebrities dropping hundreds of pounds, and Flava Flav meeting the parents. Today, Fox unveils the latest reality offering, Secret Millionaire. And it's all about living the low life. Emphasis on the low. Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
It's a fantasy as old as business itself, walking in somebody else's socioeconomic shoes. And now, like everything else, it's the concept for a reality show. Secret Millionaire got its start in England.
Terry George is leaving behind his designer clothes, mansion in the country, and his husband to go undercover in Cornwall.
The riches to rags experience will end with the millionaire giving out at least $100,000 of his own money to the low-income folks he has lived with for a week. Brian Lowry is the TV critic for Variety. He says all of the networks are getting into the feel-good reality game.
Extreme Makeover Home Edition is sort of the Cadillac of that genre right now, and the fact that that continues to do well, people are going to keep copying it.
But Feel Good doesn't necessarily make for good ratings. Oprah's Big Give had a lackluster finish. Three Wishes and The Benefactor flopped. But Lowry says the networks don't mind taking risks with reality because the shows are fast and cheap to produce. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
It's official. Americans are still the world's greatest overachievers. The annual World Competitiveness Rankings were released today, and the U.S. tops the list for the 15th straight year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Grant Thornton, serving their audit, tax, and advisory clients worldwide with people who love what they do. Online at grantthornton.com. By Gather.com, where friends can stay in touch. People are talking at Gather.com. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More ThriveQ.com.
Investors get a look at the latest numbers on unemployment claims today. Economists are generally forecasting a modest rise, but enough to call it a recession? That's debatable. Except perhaps in particular parts of the economy where what you call the current downturn is beside the point. Remember that old saying, a recession is when you lose your job, a depression's when I lose mine. Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell has been taking a closer look at specific trends. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
You know, the last job report gave us something of a relief on the job front, but we still had 20,000 jobs lost, And with Wall Street and the rest of us wondering if this is going to be a short and shallow recession or a deep and vicious one, what do these numbers tell us?
Well, what the numbers so far tell us is that the downturn will be short and shallow, assuming that we continue to lose jobs in the sort of 75,000 to 100,000 range. That typically defines a short, shallow recession. But, you know, it's not just the raw numbers, Bob. It's who is getting laid off that can have a big impact. But just to give you some numbers here, if you look at less than a high school diploma, for example, manufacturing and construction, the unemployment rate went from 7.6% to 7.8%. Now, let me give you one more number.
I'm following this.
Bachelor's degree or higher, same time frame. December 2007, unemployment rate, 2.2%. April, 2.1%.
And what's the significance of that?
Well, the significance is that that's where most of the job growth has really occurred. In fact, it's stunning how much of the job growth over the past decade has come out of the health services area. So one way that you could look at this downturn is to say, so long as the health services continues to grow and so long as education continues to hold up, then our better educated workers are going to continue to have jobs that will somewhat limit the impact of the downturn. But this is a blue-collar and pink-collar recession.
Doesn't make it any easier for whoever it is who's losing their job, though.
Absolutely not. And do not want to minimize that. Losing your job is terrible. I think this is one of the times where the consensus is right among economists, where, you know what, when we come out of this downturn, it's going to be slow. It's not going to be a lot of job growth. If you lose your job, it's going to be hard to get another one. And that, for most of us, that's the definition of a recession.
I can only say I hope you're wrong, Chris. Our economics editor, Chris Farrell, thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
And I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. You can replay any of our programs at marketplace.org. Thanks for making us a part of your morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.